All right, so superheroes, why do you read them?
I like the story. I like the characters. I am a superficial reader, which is why I am actually terrible at comics news. I'm like, every single thing you say to me, I think for the last 67 podcasts, you've just been like, "Oh, have you heard about this?" I'm like, "No, I haven't heard about this.
Which
I just
issue
read the last
was
few issues."
that
Artists, I thought they were just magicked out of the like ether by fairies. I don't know what's coming. I don't know who's drawing what or writing what. I just like my stories.
I think that basically I'm the opposite, like creators than characters. So like say if Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely were to do a Donna Troy miniseries, I would grit my teeth and maybe cry a little bit, but I would at least try it. You know, but I think that so if I had to pinpoint the time when it changed for me, when I went from being like all about Batman to all about Ed Brubaker or Sean Phillips or Grant Morrison, it was War Games, which was a horrible story, like through and through. And it was
It was just
2000.
before I started
Yeah, you lucked
reading.
out. It was what, 2005, 2004? I forget when. Hopefully, Google will tell me. Apparently, there was a movie called War Games in 1983, which I'm pretty sure I've seen. So, yeah, 2004 and 2005.
Oh, is that where they take over the school? Like, guerrillas take over the school and the kids have to fight them?
Yeah. And there's like the giant computer hacking thing at the end, I think. Yeah, it was the 80s. But so I got back like into comics heavy in 2003. The end of 2004, War Games started. And this was the first story arc since I got back that like kind of made me really irrationally angry. Because it was just, there were really talented people involved. And it was so appallingly bad that like you can't just trust Batman anymore as like a brand. You've got to, you know, pay attention to who's doing what. Otherwise, you'll get, you know, like 18 issues of people getting tortured to death and faces worn on other people's faces. So now for me, it's
I
like
can laugh about it because she's back.
the other really bad part of War
Just as one
Games.
day I'll be laughing about Leon Harper's death, I imagine.
So do you remember Orpheus? He was like one of two black characters in Batman's circle.
Yes, I remember Orpheus and
Onyx.
Onyx, yes.
Onyx has disappeared after a possibly fatal stabbing in the shoulder or something, courtesy of Jason Todd. Or she was just like,
Think
forget this crap, I'm going home.
she and remember Gotham, it's like Gotham Underground or something.
She was in that? Because that's one I definitely didn't
Like where
read.
they had Stephanie Brown or someone in the spoiler suit like
Yeah.
wandering through the issue, but they had the puzzle piece taken out and they're like, it's all gonna make sense. And then none of it made sense. And it still doesn't make any sense that Stephanie Brown was there because she was in Africa.
So that was her?
I think she was one of the background characters. I think
Oh,
you saw
interesting.
her in the background as part of the Penguin's gang of not making sense.
Yeah. Well, her, I guess, the Robin to her Batman or vice versa was Orpheus. And in War Games, he was killed and Black Mask cut off his face and wore his face as a mask so that he could sneak into somewhere.
Wait.
Get it? Black Mask.
That doesn't make any
No,
sense.
it doesn't.
If I cut off someone's face and put their face on me, people would not be like, "Oh, hey,
Yeah.
Dick Cheney, come right on in. I can see by your face, your sunken, shriveled, misshapen face."
In that brief burst of anger you just had, like imagine that spread over the course of like 5 months.
Oh, I wish you hadn't told me that. Like, I'm glad you unburdened yourself,
Yeah,
but
like it was that bad, and it forced me to kind of start paying attention to who does what. Like I knew Frank Miller, Jim Lee, Chris Claremont. I knew people like that I knew as a kid, but that pretty much forced me to sit up and go, okay, wait, who's writing this one? Because if I'm going to get any ugly surprises, I'd like them to be, at least be well written. But what were we talking about?
You
War
like
Games.
writers, and why we like superhero comics and to begin with.
Yeah, so there was I forget how long ago now, like 3-4 weeks, maybe a month, which is 4 weeks. I did the Gambola stamp thing on like what superheroes are about.
Yes.
And my point was that it was aspirational and that they were here to save us. Mm-hmm. And your point was that
it was pure egotism.
Yeah. I was trying to think of the word you use, is mm-hmm. that we want to be the hero.
Yeah.
That can save people. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if our two points are necessarily equal and opposite, mm-hmm. but can you talk about yours some? Like, why do you... Can you rehash your entire blog post in form?
I think that's why at least a lot of people want representations of themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of girls are like, we want more female heroes in comics. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we want to be able to step into those shoes. Mm-hmm. And right now, or, you know, right now we feel like we're locked out in a lot of different ways. And that's not like Superman will save us. That's like, I want to be Superman.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
I could see that. I think that, so part of mine is the...
Other thing. That's why I think also superhero stuff has gotten so personal. Like, every single time they're just fighting someone who attacked their family.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're fighting some villain who attacks a bunch of random people solely to get the superhero's attention. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't think there are many superhero comics at all that show superheroes coming in and rescuing someone or solving a mystery of someone who that doesn't have anything to do with them. Usually it's just fighting between...
It's like a closed circuit.
Yes. And you'll see, like, that is what a lot of shows are about. They're not really about, like, Law and Order or ER started as, like, procedurals and realistic looks at situations. Mm-hmm. And then slowly and slowly evolved more melodrama because people wanted to, like, vicariously experience these big dramas. And so, like, I'm not really interested in how an ER works anymore. I just want to see what's his name with the cute hair cry.
That was really specific. I think that so for me, like, Flex Mentallo is probably like the most important superhero comic, if I can say that and not sound completely ridiculous. And that, like, it's got everything to do with superheroes all wrapped up in one, even kind of how, like, they go kind of toxic and really unenjoyable at times. And pretty much, like, I guess the moral of the story is that we created superheroes to show us a better way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that Save Me versus I Want to Save People isn't necessarily different. They're just, there's like two points on a line.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
And I think that, like, the superheroes that people like a lot, probably Superman, no, actually especially Superman, like, say Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, probably the three most popular heroes, would you say?
Yeah.
I think that, like, they have the most market penetration. Probably Wonder Woman, too, but I don't have a good handle on Wonder Woman. People know Wonder Woman,
people
though.
People know Wonder Woman, but...
But nobody reads her comic.
No.
Yeah. That's true. But, like, those three, they're ones where you can easily step into their shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, with Spider-Man, it's all about, you know, responsibility and guilt and, like, living a good life. And if you do that, hopefully things will work out for you. Superman is about being the, kind of, like, having hidden power. Yeah. You know? Like, they may be picking on me now, but if only Lois knew that I was actually Superman. You know, it's like having a secret that makes you better than everybody else. And even Batman is about, like, no matter who you are, you can make it. As long as you are a billionaire orphan. But really, like, in the context
with
of comics, like,
20/20 vision and...
And incredible memory and hearing.
Reflexes.
Yeah. But, like, within the context of, like, the Justice League, he's the normal guy. So
no!
Who isn't? Who's the normal guy in the Justice League?
I mean, no...
Like, he's the only baseline human.
He's supposedly the baseline human, yeah. But he still runs the entire Justice League.
No, but the way he's... Like, his entire gimmick is that he's the human who made it. Like, he is... He's super rich, but as far as being, like, born better, not really. Unless you count inheriting billions of dollars. So, like, all those three have specific things that you can kind of latch on to.
Well, there's Oliver Queen.
People like Green Arrow?
I like Green Arrow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In theory.
It's been a rough couple of years for you.
Oh, so difficult.
I don't even know what Green Arrow's, like, what his aspirational aspect would be. Like, being a saucy liberal? But, like, the heroes that people like the most, the ones that have lasted the longest, are ones you can easily step into their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And... Like, actually, a really good example is Captain Marvel. As kids,
I feel like you're arguing my point here.
Maybe
with
I am.
All the egotism.
Hopefully, after the Captain Marvel explanation, it all makes sense. All
right.
So, when kids read comics, Captain Marvel was selling more copies than Superman.
Mm-hmm.
DC was like, nuh-uh, and canceled it. And now Captain Marvel can't sell comics to save his life because the audience is mostly adults.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain Marvel, more than anything, is... It's literally a child turned into a child's idea of an adult and saves the day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you look at that from the point of it being kind of like a cry for help, almost. Like, I'm doing a crap job of explaining this. It's like, if you're a kid and life sucks... More than anything else, you want to be able to make life not suck. And Captain Marvel is kind of a literal... Like, it's just transplanted into comics that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that in a way, like, the Captain Marvel myth is saving you. Like, that's the save me aspect of comics. And I think that's what makes... Like, most of the heroes that I like are ones that I've been able to connect to that way. So that it's not quite save me within the text... But so much as save me, like, as we're... Hang on, I'm doing a... That was a really poor phrasing. Luckily, I can fix it in editing if I choose to. But it's... I think that yours... Yeah, I'm
It's kind
apart.
Of redemptive escapism,
yeah,
almost.
That's a good way to put it. Almost that it shows you a path to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you just, you know, live your life like it's supposed to be done... And, you know, do your best. This is the way things will work out. Not literally, because, you know, you don't get to be Batman. You know, but you get to be kind of a stand-up guy. But I think that's really kind of why I got into superheroes so much. Even though that doesn't explain why I quit superheroes, but... C'est la vie. I don't know.
Well, I would definitely say that superheroes in the traditional way, like, recently... Watchmen,
yeah.
The Boys, that kind of stuff. You don't want to be those people. Like, any of those people.
That's true. I think...
Like, and that is... You may... I think they appeal to egotism in that they're like... Anyone who's better than you secretly sucks.
Yeah. I think that's
and,
very true. It's the
you
kind
know,
of...
all those powered people and all those rich people... And all those, like, in some cases, they take shots at, like, educated people or politicians. God! They're just so awful. You know they're secretly awful, right? They're all just in a big secret society being awful together.
Yeah.
Terrible human beings. And this guy wearing the trench coat with the bulldog, he's a good guy. Well, I mean, he's also kind of a bastard.
Yeah.
But still.
It's, I think that... Watchmen
whereas,
is super toxic.
Yeah. Whereas, like, the original stuff, you are supposed to identify with the hero's
yeah.
desire to do good.
Like, comics were used basically as propaganda for kids in a lot of ways. Like, part of Wonder Woman's creation is that Marston wanted to show, like, boys, like, hey, you know, girls are pretty awesome, you know? And also provide a hero for girls at the same time. Whereas now it's just like, hey, we gotta sell copies of Wonder Woman somehow. But, like, I think that Watchmen, The Boys, stuff like that, where it's very kind of mean-spirited,
mm-hmm.
is it's like a juvenile reaction to heroes. You know, it's like someone tells you, like, there's a wise guy, and he's like, you know, you should do blah, blah, blah. And you're like, well, this guy sucks. I don't like him telling me what to do. So I'm going to prove that, you know, he's a pervert in hiding or something. So instead of being, like, aspirational, like most superheroes, like, Watchmen is in the other direction, where it drags superheroes down to, like, ground level. Mm-hmm. And then sets you, like, just on top, because you're not as bad as they are.
Well, the difference is, supposedly, these are realistic comics, or they're
mature.
Posed. Yeah. No, not mature. They're posed as being, like, actual superheroes would have all these weird psychological problems, and actual superheroes would be in bed with, like, pharmaceutical companies or something.
Yeah.
You know, they're just people and power corrupts and things like that. Whereas I think they are coming from, not that they don't have good entertainment value.
Yeah.
But they're coming from more of a, you think you're better than us kind of mentality.
There was... Have you read Marvel's?
Where were you, Superman? Why weren't you saving my husband?
I read that for the Superman 701 for the first time. Like, I'd seen excerpts, but I read it because of a post I was working on, and I got so mad by the end of that comic. Like, how do you get Superman that wrong over that many pages? But that aside, have you read Marvel's? It was Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross, like, 1996, fully painted Marvel miniseries.
Nope.
Have you read Kingdom Come?
Nope.
Basically,
I think I saw little bits of that. Like, Bruce becomes a demented matchmaker and sets Dick's.
I know he was mad about that.
With Corey up with, like, Ra's al Ghul's son.
It was his son with Talia wanted to date Dick Grayson's son with Starfire, and it was all good until Dick Grayson found out who his mother was, and he was like, no, you're not dating him, that's not gonna happen, that's disgusting and evil. But
yeah, but Bruce told him.
Yeah, Bruce told him.
He was all like, hey, do you know?
Yeah. Like, total meddling old man.
I was happy about it.
I think he was happy to be telling him. That's one of the few parts of Kingdom Come I actually like. But Marvel's, it was very much, it was a ground-eye view of superheroes, kind mm-hmm. of like how the normal people in Marvel Universe would see heroes. And it was uh-huh. very, it was so respectful, it was almost fawning. But it was very much like, you know, these heroes are basically gods, and we live in this world of God, and sometimes it's not that bad. Like, it's a really good life. It's a world of Marvel's, I think, was the actual moral of the story. And so Warren Ellis did a version of it for Marvel called Ruins.
Ooh.
And it was the opposite. So when Peter Parker gets bitten by a spider, he gets cancer and dies in an alley. All the X-Men are really deformed and gross, you know, mutant perverts. They live in the desert. It was very much like a meaner version of something like The Boys. Uh-huh. But like you're saying, where it's like, you know, you think you're so great, blah, 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 take this. And, like, it is the dictionary definition of exactly what I don't want out of superhero comics. Like, you couldn't have possibly nailed it better than that. And it's... I keep trying to figure out where that kind of influence came in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this sort of, you know, these are heroes, so we should tear them down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels almost guilty at some points, because, like, if you just embrace superheroes in and of themselves, like, it's a little bit fascist. You can make a pretty good case for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, so the 70s had social consciousness coming into superheroes. There's a Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams stuff. There's some Black Panther stuff. And then it kind of tilts too far in that direction to where, like, being
hard-traveling heroes.
Yeah.
Just say it.
Like, it's... It started with a good intention, but then other people got into it, or sometimes the same people got into it and went too far. So mm-hmm. then you get Watchmen, where it's like, you know, I'm going to make a very adult and realistic work. And I mean, it's an unpleasant book. Like, I don't like anyone in that book. The one I like best is, like, this crazy Ayn Rand libertarian, you know, Rorschach. And that's because he's the only guy who's like, wait a minute, the villain just won. Like, are we going to let this guy win? And he dies, you know, spoilers, sorry. So when I think of superhero comics, like the ones I want to read, it's the ones where the like, if I was in a bad way, it's something that I would want to pick up and feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, like, All-Star Superman, I think, is pretty much definitely my favorite Superman comic. It's up there.
Yeah, that's a really great one.
Yeah. I also like Whatever Happened to Truth, Justice, and the American Way. It was the Joe Kelly one.
Like, there was a British gang that would, kill
elite.
People.
Yeah, they were, like, the hardcore authority-type heroes. And, like, at the end, Superman pretends to drop to their level. And the guy's like, wait a minute, you're Superman. You can't do this. You're better than this. And Superman's like, yeah, I know. And then explains how he faked them out.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good one, just to show, like, what superheroes are about.
Oh, that's where he lobotomized a guy by looking in his eyes.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't actually. He did look in his eyes and fire, like, micro bursts of lasers that bruised the guy's brain.
Like,
so
it gave him, like, a concussion or something.
So he couldn't use his powers, which means he could have lobotomized him.
Yeah.
Just like, if you look Superman in the eye, he could already have lobotomized you.
And it's one of those books where, like, it looks at this sort of, like, the Watchmen, the Boys, kind of, like, self-hatey sort of superheroes, I guess is the best way to put it, and goes like, no, this is crap. Like, here is what superheroes should be about. And yeah, like, that's kind of what works for me, which makes reading Batman really hard sometimes.
Sometimes, like, we were talking a little while ago about how you shouldn't write, like, the Joker story where he drops an atom bomb on a bomb on an orphanage.
Yeah.
And then, like, slowly eviscerates a nun. and then skins someone. Mm-hmm. And then, like, shoots Alfred in the face. And have Batman just be like, I want to kill you now. I want to kill you. No, I will put... But I won't, because that's not who I am.
Yeah. I can't cross that line.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody else does the same thing.
Yeah.
And how that's a terrible solution.
It's because it breaks comics. Like, it kind of destroys your suspension of disbelief. Because even, like, the most ardent death penalty opponent, if you kill a million people all in one shot, they'll be like, you know, I'd be okay with that guy dying. You know?
Or, I mean, it doesn't even have to be being executed. It could just be when you're about to kill the million and first person, someone shooting you in the head. Like
you
think
even
that a death
Gotham
penalty
cop.
Death penalty opponents generally are still okay with killing if that prevents you from shooting someone else.
Yeah.
And we live in the real world where, like, Charles Manson doesn't escape from prison every month.
Like, if I had my way, Batman's Rogues Gallery would be much stronger, and you would see Joker once every 5 years. And it would be, like, a big deal each time. Because this, like, three times a year business, where he's just killing and killing, doesn't work.
Yeah. But that's kind of us. Like, how do you think that's different from, say, The Boys, where they're just happy to kill people? They're like, you stepped out of line, I put a bomb in your brain.
I think it's in the approach, like, kind of the point of the series. Because in The Boys, the superheroes are corrupt. Uh-huh. Like, they've shown one team that wasn't pretty much thoroughly rotten. And that one team was full of, like, children and, you know, like, teenagers who didn't know any better.
And were ineffective and, like, would rescue cats from trees, didn't they? Or something like that?
Exactly. Like, they're not a threat. They're nothing. Yeah. So, like, within the universe of The Boys, the superheroes are basically the supervillains.
Uh-huh.
Which, like, it's not a good thing. Like, I think it's entertaining, but there are about 20 issues of that book that just don't need to exist. But it's always, like, a fine line, because it goes story by story.
Yeah.
Because there's a bit in Gotham Central where the Joker places a bomb in a mall at Christmas time, and they've got him in the interrogation room, and he's like, ha ha ha, you'll never figure it out. And so one of the cops goes into Maggie Sawyer's office, takes off his badge, puts down his gun, and he goes and beats the Joker with the phone book to get the information out of him. Like, I feel like at some point, someone would have done that exact same thing, but shot the Joker in the face.
Yeah.
You know? But it all depends story to story. Like, if it's a story where he's killing a whole bunch of people, I would be okay with it. But if it's one where he's just the clown prince of crime...
Yeah, but let's say there's one where, like, Joker gets the power of, I think it's the Spectre or something.
Mm-hmm. Or was it Emperor Joker?
Yes.
It was Mr. Mix's Piddalick.
And he just, like, massacres everyone, and he, like, kills Batman over and over.
Yeah.
And, like, basically, he kills the world.
Yeah. It ends with, I think, Superman and the Joker being the last beings alive in the entire universe, so yeah.
Yeah. That calls, I think, for the Superman to just, like, go... and squish the Joker's head like a grape.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see Superman doing that.
And that's why I think that you should back down from trying to do those kind of stories with superheroes. Yeah. Because, like, the heroes occupy a very specific lane. Like, Spider-Man has been... The Spider-Man now is not that different from the Spider-Man of, like, 1964 when he was first invented. Like, he's got a different girlfriend... But he's still got his aunt. Mary Jane's still there. Norman Osborn is still, like, the creepy, angry dad figure. Mm-hmm. J. Jonah Jameson is still around. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man is still, like, I'm not going to kill people. Like, that's his thing. Mm-hmm. And to even where when he was, like, there's a good bit when he's talking to Wolverine on, like, a rooftop. And he's like, look, Norman Osborn is running the world, and, like, I can't have this. Like, he killed my girlfriend. He's killed so many people I know. I want to kill him. And Wolverine is like, yeah, right, you... You know, because everyone knows Spider-Man doesn't kill.
Yeah.
So when you put him in a situation where he has to kill someone, then something has gone wrong.
Yeah.
It works once as a story, I think.
Yeah.
But, like, once you tell that story, the character has to change.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Punisher, like, hey, go wild. Like, somebody's gonna die, let the Punisher do it.
Yeah.
But, like, Batman killing the Joker, it would be a mistake. Like, you wouldn't have Batman as we know him after that.
Yeah, you just need to... Like, that's overall comics. You just need to dial it back so they're not...
Yeah.
So the reader is not constantly in a position of... Why isn't that person dead?
Yeah.
Like, just horror after horror after horror. I want to kill him, and I know that all these people aren't real.
Yeah. There's a... So Deathstroke's leading the
Titans
now.
So it's not just, like, superheroes themselves that you have to...
Yeah.
Kind of modify.
It's the villain, like...
To be aspirational. It's their villains, too.
Yeah. There are very few villains to where, like, if you kind of scale back the overdone violence, that they will not work as villains anymore. In fact, yeah. I think the only ones that would not work anymore are Punisher villains, and you can always make more of those.
See... Yeah. One of my favorite stories... This is actually... I've never read The Laughing Fish.
Oh.
But I've seen the Batman the Animated Series.
Mm-hmm.
The Laughing Fish. And I thought that was really great. Where it's just like... He's freaking bonkers. And this makes sense to him. And he's just gonna go through bureaucrats. And they don't kill him. They just, like, dose him with a nerve toxin.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm... sitting at a desk, I don't really need to be threatened with death. Just a horrible nerve toxin that will, like, make me smile and, like, have seizures and leave me like that in the hospital for months. Mm-hmm. That's scary enough. Really, you don't really need to kill people off for that to work.
Yeah, the Joker is... Like, I hate him a lot of the times, but he's one of the more flexible Bat villains just because he's had so many different variations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was telling you before we started recording that I just reread Hush Returns.
Uh-huh.
Which I like most of it. But there's a really good Joker bit about halfway through the run where... actually, towards the end of the run, where he fights Hush on a rooftop and, like, he beats him up and then, like, Hush blacks out. And when he wakes up, he has a pacemaker in his chest that at some point will go off. So Hush is searching for the Joker all over the city. He comes into a bar with his guns and he's like, $50,000 to whoever tells me where the Joker is. And everyone in the bar points at the Joker. And it's a bar full of people. And the Joker's just sitting at a table like this, you know, face in his hands. He's like, that was a huge waste of money. And it's funny, like, it fits the character. and I buy that it's the Joker. Like, there's menace, and it's got the humor that the Joker needs. You know, it's stuff like that, like in Batman and Robin, when Joker's masquerading as a certain character. And he's revealed because he'd been killing people that were as jokes, like actually performing punchlines as part of his murders. And it's not, you don't see the murders, you don't see him, you know, like feeding somebody to an alligator because, you know, that's what the Joker does, ha ha ha. It's just, this is the joke. And, like, I like that take more
so. I'm
going to
make a baby eat a firework or something, you know?
It's like, no, it's like, you know, a bishop chokes on a cracker and here's the punchline, you know. Like, that's the stuff, if you get creative, you can tell really good stories without having to descend into this kind of toxic storytelling.
Yeah. And, you know, there's still the boys.
Yeah.
And they're still the authority. Like, if you want something that's
not
just...
Not anymore. Wildstorm's dead and gone. Went out with a whimper. It's depressing. But yeah, you're right. There's other things you can work that into where it doesn't hurt it.
Yeah.
Like, the authority worked because it was just enough like the JLA to where you could tell JLA-scale stories.
Yeah.
But not... You didn't have to see Batman kicking someone's face off and, like, leaving their jaw, you know?
Yes.
And there's, like, a thrill in seeing a Batman-type character do that. But if it was the actual Batman, that'd be pretty gross. Like, it wouldn't be right.
Yeah.
But, that went dark for a minute. But, yeah, so, anything else?
I don't even remember how we started.
I'm okay
so
with
I can't
that.
Really add anything.
It's a fine return to form for the forecast. Your number one source of digression on the entire But yeah, so that's all I got.
All right.
Thanks for listening.